Welcome back to Season 2 of the Jack Norris Podcast. We like to call it Jack Unmasked. Hockey stories from the 60s and 70s. Proudly brought to you by Ron Brown Implements. All your tractor, trailer, and tandem needs. Call Ron just north of Delisle at 306-834-7109. We hope you enjoy reminiscing about hockey as much as we do. So, without further ado, let's chat with Jack. Okay, we're back with the Jack Norris Podcast, Jack Unmasked. Jack, how are things going today?
Good. It's going to be supposed to be a little snow coming, but that's okay. It's wintertime, so that's good.
Is it? Did we get that freezing rain this morning?
Not really, but it's supposed to be snow coming, so.
Oh, well, that's fine. People will take snow.
Yeah.
That's always good, right?
Get the snow plow out, we can try it out.
So you had an interesting email show up this week, didn't you?
Yeah. 50 years ago, we won a championship in Dallas, and they're having an NHL game there on March something, and Chicago's there playing against Dallas, and they want us to all come back that played there. So there's about, I think, 9-10 guys that are, a lot of guys have died, if you can believe that.
Well, like, it was 50 years ago.
I know.
Right? Can you believe it's been that long?
No, because I remember it like it was yesterday. I remember that particular instance when we won the championship. But there's a lot of other things I forget in Dallas. It's not a great memory thing in my mind, It wasn't a great hockey town at the time. It was just kind of starting out there, and the hockey was kind of dull. But, yeah, this is a good deal they're putting on. They want us all to be there, and they're talking about paying our hotels and our flights down and everything else. So, no, it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, so that's... Hopefully, I think, I don't know if it's locked up yet, but Kenny Brown is the one that sent you the email, because I think, I don't know if he's living in Dallas or...
San Antonio, I think.
Okay.
And I think that's where he lives.
He's been reaching out to the Dallas Stars for a while, and he's made some good contacts, and I think it's March the 9th, you know, so a few months from now, that they want to bring you guys in and at the Dallas Stars game versus Chicago Blackhawks, because you guys were in Dallas, but you were a Blackhawks team.
Yeah.
And kind of honor you guys during that game.
Yeah, it's a center ice thing or whatever, and they're having a supper, dinner or something the night before or that night or whatever. I'm not sure of all the details, but I contacted Kenny, must have been 10 years ago when I think it was 40 years or 45 years at the time, and I found out he was in San Antonio, and I talked to him on the phone, and I said, we should have something, and then it just didn't work out. I mean... Yeah, I couldn't get a hold of guys, but Kenny's better at getting a hold of all the players than I was. So anyway, he's taken it upon himself to do all this. So he can't get a hold of a couple guys, like Jim Graham and Kerry Bond, who are two of our one defense and one forward guy, and he can't get a hold of them. But he's got a hold of all the rest, and you know, it's sounds interesting.
Yeah. Well, hopefully I'll be able to go too, and some other people from the family, because we did that Boston trip a few years ago.
Yeah.
And I think this would end up just like a great opportunity to hang out to the rink and maybe meet some guys. So be good.
Yeah. No, it's like I say, it's going to be interesting just to, you know, just for me to see old faces that I haven't seen for 50 years. That's pretty remarkable right there, just to be able to, everybody's going to be gray or bald now. So well, you got to know that when you see them. So
and
you got
fat.
Yeah, exactly. So
and not look like hockey players. Actually, it's amazing how you see some of these old guys, though, that used to play the game, and they still look like they're in great shape.
Oscar Gaudette's another guy. He was our team captain of that team in Dallas, and I seen him 3-4 years ago when I took my grandson down to New Brunswick, and that's where Oscar lives. And I phoned him, and we went for a couple of days just touring all that area, and he looks good. Like he doesn't look a day over the day he played. Just a little guy, but he hasn't grayed up too much. And his wife looks just spectacular. She looks really good because she works out. And so there's two people there that, you know, they keep up with the times.
Yeah, that's right. A lot of people always ask me, they're like, how does your dad have such a good recollection for all these different things? And it's not that you have a good memory, because if I asked you my birthday, you probably don't know it.
I wouldn't have a clue. You're February something, that's all I know.
Yeah, I set that one up pretty good.
Yeah.
But so it's not that you necessarily have a great memory, but you have a good memory for hockey. And I was watching a TV show the other day, and they were showing how people remember things better, I guess, essentially is what it was, right? And so they would show these, they put like a 3D mask on them, and they would flash like 10 things across the screen. And then 15 minutes later, ask them what they remembered and what they saw. And they would get like six or seven.
Yeah.
And then they actually took them up and they jumped them out of a plane and had them on. And as they're falling, they would show them these things.
Oh.
And most times they would remember 9 or 10 of them.
Oh.
And the reason was is because they get into a heightened state of alert, or they just get, you know, and they can actually make, your body's under such adrenaline stuff, you actually make time slow down.
Oh, really?
Is what they believe, because it's so visual to you, right?
Yeah.
So it crossed my mind that, you know, especially like we talked to Glenn Hall and yourself and other goaltenders, even Tuff, who's a goaltender, remembers a lot of things.
Yeah.
That you guys, it would be interesting to kind of know and go back. Like, did you guys somehow master early in your lives the ability to actually slow everything down so that, you know, a 100-mile-an-hour slap shot to you maybe only seems like 85-mile-an-hour slap shot? And you just think about how Glenn Hall remembered everything we talked to him about, right? And how quick people are to adjust, right?
Yeah.
Do you think there's anything to that?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it could be. I know goalies have good memories of the past. I know that because you do so much concentrating when you go into a match like 50 years ago, you're playing a certain game, and you have to think 2 days in advance about that game, who you're playing against and the moves they have and everything else. And I think you plank that into your mind, and I don't think it ever leaves. Like, it just seems that's the way it is. I know I can remember certain little stories we've told on these broadcasts where saves I've made, like in Philadelphia years ago. I remember the save so well, like it was yesterday.
Yeah.
And it's in your mind, and you don't ever, and it's a good thing that happened.
Yeah.
Where I got beat 12-3 by Tulsa one night in that Central Hockey League, and I don't remember the game at all.
Right.
So I didn't put that in my mind.
Yeah.
So you remember the good things, and I've always been taught that, like, when I seen Glenn years and years and years ago, he said, always remember the good things. He says, don't, the bad, he says, you can work on that. You try to improve next game. So I think that's got a lot to do with it. My uncle, John Norris, when before he died, he always remembered when I used to work for him back in the farm, driving the tractor. He could remember everything. But, you know, he couldn't remember his grandkids today.
No.
He had no idea.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
So that's the way life is.
Yeah. And the other reason I sort of thought maybe there's some credence to that thought process too is because when you were in Dallas the year you guys won, you went and talked to your coach and you're like I'm burnt out, I'm tired, I'm thinking of quitting. And so then what did is it Bobby Crum? Is that his name?
Yeah.
Will you talk about the discussion you had with him there?
Well, he realized where I was coming from because I was playing every game and I was getting burnt out, and we bus traveled most of the time. Traveling was a factor kind of thing. Some was by air if you went too far, but a lot was by bus. And I just came into him one day there, and I was just like, your mind gets kind of screwed up with your overthinking, and your mind gets kind of cluttered with, you know, you're having problems, and you know you got to make the move to stop a guy, but your mind just doesn't work with your body.
Mm-hmm.
And I walked into his after practice one day, and I just said to him, I says, I just feel like I'm just cracking up. I'm burnt out. I'm just not the same. I'm not the normal guy I usually am. I'm not happy. I'm just pressured up with hockey. And so I said, I think I'm thinking about quitting.
Mm-hmm.
And when he said that, he says, I'll tell you what you do. He said, let me talk to the brass in Chicago. And he says, I'll work something out. So he phoned Chicago from Dallas and talked to them, and they decided, give him a week off, just let him go. Go wherever he wants for a whole week. So he called me back that day, and he says, you know what, Jack? He says, you take a week off. He says, we'll get somebody down. I think it's Dennis DiGiordi down from Chicago or something, or somebody came in anyway to fill my place. And he says, you can have the week off, go anywhere you want. And I'm not sure if I drove to Brownsville, Texas is where I went, because there was a guy there who farmed beside me, Aubrey Shaw, and he had a campsite there. And I went down, visited Aubrey. He said, like, if I come down, can you put me up? He says, absolutely.
Yeah.
So I went down there, and we golfed on the golf course just across just across the river is Mexico. So it's right there.
Yeah.
And you could hear the music, and you're golfing, and you hear the music playing over in Mexico all the time, all this Mexican music. And so I spent a week down there golfing and having a great time. I remember golfing with an old guy down there. He was talking about this flower he seeded over a piece of corn or something on, and he said, I sowed that piece. And he was 90-some years old, still golfing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so we had a great time. I mean, that's the kind of people I hung around with. It was no drinking, no nothing, just hang around, have dinner. And Aubrey Shaw didn't drink or nothing. So, but you know what? I come back, and I think that's the year we won the championship.
Yeah, it was.
I think it was.
Yeah, because Dennis came down and played 15 games, and you and Kenny Brown were the other two main goalies for the year there. Yep.
Yeah, I got hot. After that, I come back, my mind was all refreshed, totally new mind, and I come back and I played good. Like in that playoffs, I was right on. I was hot. I probably won the star of the playoffs because my game was really on. Like made fantastic saves, and I remember a lot of them. Remember the last game we played against Jim Harrison. He played for Oklahoma City. That's who we beat.
Yeah.
And it was we weren't supposed to win. We weren't supposed to, I think we ended up third or fourth in the league.
Oh, okay.
And we just caught fire at the right time.
Well, isn't it amazing? Like you can always tell when a goalie is sharp and when he's not.
Yeah.
Right?
And you know, the thing that happened there too, is just before the call-up deadline to Chicago, and I thought maybe I might've got called up too. I didn't know, but a goalie doesn't have to be called up because he can be brought up anytime. If they get an injury with one of their guys, they can always bring the goalie up. Because you're different than a forward. But they took up, I think they took up Barry Long, who we had, Cliff Coral, Wayne Mackey was on our team, three or four of our big guns. And we thought, man, that's just going to kill our chances of winning. But we got hot. The rest of the guys picked up the slack, and we had a great series. It was, I think we won in five, six games or something. I know it was in Oak City when we won the final game.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so... But I played in Oak City for a month, too. Boston sent me down, and I can't remember who the other goalie was that went over to fill my spot in L.A., but I was in Boston, so they must have had somebody in L.A. or whatever. But I was playing in Boston, and they sent me down. But they wanted me to go to Oak City because they wanted me close so their scouts could see me play because they didn't scout the Western League that much because it's older guys out there.
Yeah.
So they had no reason to scout out there. So I played Oak City for, I don't know how many games, 15 or something you said, or 15 games, something like that. It was good. That was a good league. I enjoyed it. It was fun. Oak City was it's a cow town.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, but it was a good city. In fact, I think that's where I played with Glenn Sather, was in Oak City.
Oh, maybe.
I'm pretty sure it was. Yeah.
I think they still have a minor league team there. I was talking to a friend of mine, Jared Dumba. He used to play for the Blades. Now he's the Pats color commentator. And he played 10 years of pro hockey too. And he played in Oak City.
Oh.
And he met Tiger Williams one time.
Oh.
And Tiger, they got talking. And Tiger said, oh yeah, you played in Oak City like I did. Tiger said to him, hey, we got something in common.
Oh.
And Jared's like, oh, we do? Like, how the hell do you even know who I am?
Yeah.
And he says, yeah, we both played in Oak City.
Oh, so he was together?
No, Tiger Williams is like...
Oh.
No, Jared's only 35 years old.
Oh, okay.
No,
oh,
but he's just saying, we both played hockey in that town.
Yeah.
Oh, Jared played in the new rink. They got a new rink there, so it's really nice and everything. But he said it was amazing that Tiger actually... Like, what he was talking about was how some of these players really follow a lot of players, right? We talked about that with Gordie Howe. He follows a lot, especially the Saskatchewan boys and stuff, but how these guys knew. Like, he was amazed that he knew he played in Oak City with him. Like, at the same time, same place, I guess.
Right? Yeah.
So, you can tell it to Tiger, too, because Tiger's obviously impressed that people played in the same areas he did.
That Gordie, he amazes me how his memory is for Saskatchewan boys.
So, we were talking about, you know, how you're kind of, whether it was just stressed out or just overworked and your mind wasn't right and it affects the game. That's going on today with certain guys too, right? I mean, even Carey Price just the other day admitted like it's not his fundamentals. It's in his head.
Well, I can see Carey, just my opinion, I don't think Carey's happy in Montreal. I think he wants to get out and get to a city where it's not so big on hockey, just so you can walk down the street and not recognize and stuff like that. Anywhere Carey Price goes in Montreal, he's recognized. I mean, they those French people all know who Carey Price is.
Yeah.
And you're saying too that guy from Boston,
Tuukka Rask,
is needing a leave or something. Well, you know what? I can understand
He took a couple of days off. Nobody really knows what it's for. Who knows what it is? But
yeah,
it's going on.
It's to rest your mind and rest your body. Kind of sit around home all day and you just let things cool off a little bit and you get away from the game and the games come. They play so much now. They're playing every second night.
Yeah.
But we never used to. We used to play.
Cam Talbot's having problems in Edmonton.
Yeah.
Not playing the way he was.
Yeah.
And you got to think a lot of this is up in their heads right now. Well, Carey Price admitted it was in his head.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Maybe we should send him that Glenn Hall letter.
Yeah. But that's the way things go. I mean, Carey Price is under every practice. There's people lined up at the door wanting in just to take pictures of Carey Price and watch him and interview after in practice.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just too much. You don't want any part of that after a while. You just say, I don't want to be interviewed today.
No.
You want to just get up, have a shower and go out the back door and go home.
Yeah. I don't think people realize how much under pressure these guys are under nowadays.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just too much. And, you know, and I can see in hockey in my day, was nothing the way it is now. Like, they go through so much pressure now. Just so much. And I just can't see it being just as how your mind going to take all that. I have no idea how you could do it.
Yeah, no, I know. It's constant, right? Because there's space, social media and Twitter and everything. And
yeah.
They say they block it out or don't pay attention, but how could you not?
Well, that's what gets me is when the playoffs come around and these guys have gone 6 months of hockey, and then playoffs are there and you got a red-hot goalie in the playoffs. Like, anybody that can... Well, I'll give an example is that guy for Boston, that Thomas or whatever his name was. They won the Stanley Cup 1 year, and then he quit. I don't know where he went. I've never heard of him after that.
No.
He was just cluttered with... His mind was just full of hockey.
He tried to come back after a while, but he probably was the same thing. I think he did try to come back and play in Florida, I think, for a little bit.
Did he?
Yeah, I think so. But he took a year, maybe even a full year off.
Yeah.
And probably right. He probably was just so stressed out from those years that he had and wanted to break.
Yeah, he made saves there unbelievable. Like Carey Price, I don't see him as the same goalie that he was here a year and a half ago. I saw him one night, I thought, man, he's got to be the best goalie in the world. He's got everything figured out. He's in front of every puck. And then it just cluttered his mind up and he just went for... I would love to have this interview right now when I was 25 years old and we got a game tomorrow night to give you my opinion on everything. Like, it would be different from what I'm saying probably because it's just your mind's cluttered up with hockey.
I know, and that Glenn Hall letter, which helped you quite a bit, focus on the games and everything, and especially during a game, I give that letter to all of the kids I ever coached.
Yeah.
Because they never got any goaltending coaches and stuff.
Yeah.
And I think it really helped a lot of them, just how to mentally be a goaltender.
Yeah.
You know, especially like in the game. There's so much more to it now, but yeah, it really helped. But a lot of these guys, it's hard.
Well, I can understand Glenn Hall like going through all those starts that he had like in a row. Like, that's amazing. I mean, Dennis DeGiordi was his backup in Chicago. And some years he never started a game.
No.
The only time he got to play is if Glenn was having a bad night and then after the first period maybe throw Dennis in there, or after the second period throw Dennis in for a period. And then the next game, Glenn starts again.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Every night. And you know what? That's just, I just can't imagine being able to do that.
So we'll leave it at this. I hope you remember the story. It was about when we were traveling around with Dennis Hull the other couple of weeks ago with that 80-year-old thing, right?
Yeah.
And we got talking about Glenn Hall.
Yeah.
And so Dennis, do you remember the story what I'm trying to lead to where Dennis was talking about, hey, Glenn, you always get sick?
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Well, keep talking.
Okay. So Dennis Hall sat right beside, I think he said right beside Glenn Hall, but they're almost like close, and they all sat close to the bathroom too, whatever. And Glenn would get up and he would get sick, right?
Yeah. For every game.
And so then, do you remember Dennis said, hey, you know, do you get sick before every game?
No.
Do you remember what Glenn Hall said?
No.
Only since you got here.
Oh, yeah. No, Glenn, I can remember guys, I wasn't there, but the other guy saying, the Ghoulies in getting sick. And Nikita and somebody look at each other and say, he's ready. He's ready to play.
He's ready to play. Yeah, right, and that's just it. Maybe that's what mentally got him, because to play 502 games in a row.
Oh, yeah.
And all those years he'd mentioned before.
Yeah.
Like he had mentioned about 7 years, I think, of hockey before the NHL that he also played every single game. That's amazing.
Oh, I don't know.
I think if Glenn Hall could play today, he would still play.
He probably want to start every game. I mean, that's the way he is.
He's mentally, you could tell, like he would want to play.
Oh yeah, he'd be. Yeah, it's just the way Glenn is. He's they got a terrific athlete when they got him. He was dead on his game, and
he was. Did you see the Grant Fuhr story that was on TV? It was just on like a couple nights ago.
No, I didn't see that.
I recorded it. I'll have to let you play it or something like that. It was really interesting. But Glenn had, or did I say Glenn? I said Grant Fuhr. Did I say Grant Fuhr?
Yeah.
Anyways, he wanted to play every night too. In fact, even when he was in St. Louis, Keenan played him like 72 games, I think, or 70 games that season.
Oh.
Even though he was getting older, and he wanted to play every night as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just interesting how some guys mentally, they just want to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, like Grant Fuhr, in my mind, is not near the person that Glenn Hall is. That's in my mind only. He just hasn't got nearly the class that Glenn's got, and he's very sharp-witted. Like, he can cut you off awful quick. Just things like that. I mean, I can give you an example. Is one time we're at practice up there. We took a busload of hockey guys up, and they're out practicing, and Fuhr had come up, and we're all invited guests, like, for the back door. You got to come in.
Yeah.
And all our names are there. So Grant Fuhr's mask was down on the bench, and I went down and I could get into the bench, and I picked it up and I was looking at it, and John Muckler was standing right there, and Fuhr come by and he says, take your hands off that mask. That's private property.
Oh, really?
I thought, ooh, wow, that's not very nice.
Really? Hey?
Yeah. So I've never really liked Grant Fuhr since then too much.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah, like what's the big deal?
And that same time, Muckler had his Stanley Cup ring on, and he's the coach of the Oilers.
Yeah.
And I was sitting up in the stands, and he looked up and saw me there, and he's, hi. I says, John, could you give me that ring for a minute so I can show my buddies here? And he said, he took it off, and he threw it.
Really?
Oh, if I had missed it, it would have landed on cement, and like every diamond would have been gone.
Wow. Did you know John Muckler?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, I knew him really well.
Yeah.
And he said, I got four more at home. He said, that one breaks, so what? Yeah, so anyway.
Wow.
He won, yeah. So... It was, I showed all the guys, like, and they look at this ring. They were just in shock that this $20,000 ring was looking around.
I think if you see the Grant Fuhr movie or something, I think he's changed his tune a little bit.
Has he?
I think so, yeah. He went through, I think he was pretty arrogant for a while and then kind of got humbled for a little bit. And then,
did he? Yeah, I want to see that when you sometime. Yeah, I'd like to see that. Sure.
Okay, well, no, that sounds good, Jackson. I think that was a pretty interesting story. So hopefully this whole Dallas thing pans out.
Yeah, so do I.
Next year, I think it's going to.
Well, my daughter, she says, I'm ready to go right now.
Oh, I'm thinking we'll take a big entourage to that
and
have a good weekend. And just what else is better than going to watch and be around NHL hockey for a whole weekend?
Yeah.
Oh, it'd be awesome. Yeah. So, okay, that sounds good. We'll talk to you then next week.
You bet.
Okay, bye. Well, that ends episode 7 of season 2 of the Jack Norris podcast, Jack Unmasked, where we learn what is going on with Jack's life with the celebration of the 50th anniversary of the Dallas Blackhawks championship, as well as what it was like to be a goaltender and going through some of the pressures and what they did for him to help him get his game back, and what the end result was winning a championship in Dallas 50 years ago, roughly this year. If you'd like to be notified of the next podcast, which comes out every Friday, go to www.nccag.ca. Click on the podcast tab, enter your email, and you'll be notified of each podcast as they come out. Until we talk to you next week, thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you soon.
When I was getting burned out, your mind gets kind of screwed up with your overthinking. You know you got to make the move to stop a guy, but your mind just doesn't work with your body. Pressured up with hockey and God, I'm thinking about quitting. Give him a week off, just let him go. After that, I come back and my mind was all refreshed. I probably won the start of the playoffs because my game was really on. I come back and I think that's year we won the championship.